And we're back with another episode of Bones and Tubs. We're here with you right now. It's nighttime. It's different time. You know, we've had a weird recording schedule for the last probably like month, I would say.
Yeah.
But that doesn't get us down. We've had weird recording schedules in different times. You know, last summer we were inside for, what about, probably a month?
Yeah.
Month and a half is so goddamn hot.
We could very well just figure out Anchor and just do the podcast from our respective bathtubs.
That's true.
When we're on our phones.
Taking delicious baths.
Guess what? Try and stop us now.
Mm-hmm. But we're back with you. You know, we survived the great blizzard of 2019. You know, the whole fucking like 3 inches of snow we ended up getting in Ohio.
Tell you who didn't survive. It was 8 hours of my sick time.
No.
He died like a fucking soldier.
Yeah. You know? I salute you.
Yeah.
But so we're here. And today, we talked about a couple episodes when we did our Hollow Earth episode, when we mentioned Rear Admiral Richard E. Byrd. That
I'm going to call him General Admiral Byrd. I've done it like 7 times. I had to cut it out of the last show. Nice. I don't know why I do that.
But we're going to be talking about him today because we said we wanted to come back to the subject of Admiral Byrd because I feel like we feel like his whole story deserved a fleshing out. And Let me tell you something. After doing the research today, that is definitive.
I'm kind of surprised that he didn't make the list before when we did our like early 1900s, late 1800s.
Kind of like
great men.
When we did our Tesla.
Yeah, Tesla.
Well, this is
Wilhelm Reich.
You know, we're just going back to something we like to do. You know, those real men of genius.
Yeah.
Today we salute you.
This one's for you, Last Explorer.
Last Explorer of the Great Unknown.
From Boston, Massachusetts. You know?
Born in Virginia. Nah, but before we get started, I think we had a couple things we wanted to talk about. You know, those current events we always like to dig into before we get into the real meat.
Yeah. What should we do first? The racist MAGA hat-wearing kid that was compared to every 1950s Caucasian that wore a fucking clown hat. Clan hood.
I want to hit that one second.
Okay. What was the first one?
Oh man, we're gonna have to cut this out because you were the one that said you wanted to.
God damn.
What was it? Oh, Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The Condor. Shout out the Condor. The Condor Knives on Instagram. We were talking about it earlier because I posted it on Instagram about how Fox put out her like obituary or
that in memoriam thing that they do.
Yeah, we talked about that for a while. He's like, I think she's probably been dead for a while, and they're just waiting to bring it out. I think that's what he said. But anyway, yeah, like, it wouldn't surprise me. Like he said, they've been canceling all of her events, and she's not been presiding.
I think they said, didn't she just miss, like, a series of hearings that they do?
Yeah.
Like, for the first time ever?
Right.
Like, the first time she's never sat in on the fucking Supreme Court hearings?
Yeah.
Well, I don't necessarily think she's dead already. But she could be dying.
Right.
And let me tell you something.
I saw a quote from... Sorry.
My schadenfreude kicks in real fucking hard in times like this. Like, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I have a bad feeling that if she dies, shit's going to get real fucking nasty.
Yeah.
Because the tide will definitively turn on how the fucking Supreme Court is made up.
We're going to have somebody come out of the woodwork to be a judge that is a fucking vile rapist through their 19s,
you know, 18, 19. Well, who was it?
Okay, and we're back. So the quote from, supposed quote from Justice Ginsburg. See, the bizarre claim that Ginsburg wants the age of consent to be 12 comes from a book published in 1977 called Sex Bias in the U.S. Code. It was a book about how laws in the U.S. in the 70s made rape illegal if a man was the rapist, but were written in such a way that a woman rapist could not be charged or punished. So, from this, she said something along the lines of, lowering the age of consent to 12. Snopes, of course, says it's false, therefore it must be false.
Yeah.
But I just...
Okay, so...
I don't know.
Basically, she's dead or dying.
Yes.
And their choice, the choice that I've been hearing that Trump would put forward, is one Amy Coney Barrett.
Ah.
Okay.
It's going to be hard for him to shit on a woman, isn't it?
Well, see, here's the thing.
Uh-oh.
And they're set, and this goes hand in hand with this supposed pick.
Yeah.
One of the things that Amy Coney Barrett is, other than being a judge and being well-versed in law, I mean, well-versed enough to be considered a Supreme Court justice,
yeah,
is a devout Catholic.
Mm. So, is that why they're preemptively striking against these children? Or did I just make that fanciful
fiction? No, that's kind of, that's the shot that they've been saying. They're saying that they, with this whole, and this rolls into our segue into the big story of the week is that they're trying to defamate Catholics in order that when he picks her to take over, they're going to be like, oh, another one of these hoity-toity.
Yeah, while Catholics still in the mainstream in the thought pool.
Mm.
Listen, I will never defend Catholics. However, in that specific event where those Catholic children were participating in whatever march they were in, they were approached and intimidated by the Native American.
Well, see, here's the thing.
Changed my mind.
About the whole religious thing is that there's a very few instances where I would feel like you should use somebody's religion against them,
yeah,
and their ability to perform to think logically and use reason.
Mm.
I like to give people the benefit of the doubt on that. I mean, it doesn't matter what background you come from. I think if you approach something with reason and logic, then I have no right to judge what God you believe in.
So did the stories of the people being sworn in on the Quran make your butthole twitch at all?
No.
Okay.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's a sacred text that they hold dear.
Yeah.
They swore an oath to the United States Constitution upon that sacred text. And I'm sure there's going to be listeners out there that are going to get all hem-hawed about it. But here's the thing.
I mean, there is a part in there that says they can lie in order to achieve jihad. I'm just here to stir the pot, everybody.
That's true.
That's my job.
They're not swearing on the they're not swearing to the Quran. They're swearing on the Quran to the United States Constitution.
I hope you're right.
So
I just look at my.
Here's the thing: like, would you feel more comfortable them swearing on a Bible, a document they have no faith in whatsoever?
You know, I'm just staring out the window of my freshly manicured lawn with my flagpole in the front yard that has an American flag on top of a Stand with Israel flag on top of a Gadsden flag on top of a Thin Blue Line flag.
I mean,
you know, I'm just, you know, I'm tripping.
Here's the thing, like, theoretically, you could swear on whatever you want to swear on. I saw an article where some woman who ran for a local city council in, like, Georgia or something swore on a copy of Alex Haley's Roots. And I don't give a fuck. I really don't. Swear on what you find. Here's the thing, I'm not Christian.
We don't need the government either. Sorry.
So why would I swear on a Bible? No, if I wanted to swear on a holy, what I consider a holy text that would prevent me from breaking my bond with whatever I was swearing to.
Bring me the Kybalion.
Exactly. Bring me the Kybalion. I'll swear on the Kybalion.
Oh, yeah.
Because I believe in that.
Bring me a color by numbers book.
Give me the Gethia. Yeah. I'm going to summon a demon.
Yeah. What's he doing in there? He's just reading the Gethia. Lesser keys.
Okay, so this whole thing in Washington, D.C., that was the big news thing this week. Basically, the narrative, the first narrative that was given was that this group of high school students from Covington, Kentucky, from a Catholic school, swarmed a Native American man and proceeded to chant at him. Build the wall.
Smirk at him.
And smirk Caucasianly. At him. All Caucasianly.
Look at you, all white and shit.
And that narrative, like, it made everything fucking explode. People were going nuts. They were putting pictures of, like, crazy racist shit from the 1950s next to it.
Yeah.
And, like, putting MAGA hats on 1950s shit. You know what I mean? Like, you know what? This is the thing. I give you an F for your research.
Terrible. Terrible
memers research. Of this shit. I give you a B plus for effort. Because you know what? At the end of the day, you know what? Even a part of me had to chuckle a little bit at it.
Yeah.
But, okay. And then there was a couple other things I saw. Like, people were literally, like, blue checkmarked fucking Twitter people.
Oh, you know, that fucking...
We're, like, going out there and saying, hey, I will give... I'm putting bounties on these children's heads.
There was a female actress or a comedian that said she'd give a blowjob to somebody for assaulting one of the kids.
She was a writer on SNL.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Far stretch, I shouldn't call
various,
her a comedian.
Various efforts to... condone violence upon these children.
Soliciting sex acts for violence against children.
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Where is your moral compass? Where is your fucking moral compass?
What the fuck? What's going on
okay.
in your ears?
So, that's the narrative that started. And even from the get-go, and I've always been an advocate on the show, is when you see a piece of information, don't be rushed to judge.
Yeah.
Get all the information first. The first thing I saw, the first time I saw it was a meme. That was the meme I was talking about. Where it was...
Stares in Caucasian.
It was, yeah, that kid just staring and smirking next to that Native American fellow.
Yeah.
And side by side with a picture of a bunch of white people aggressively standing around a black dude at a diner counter.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically saying, oh, it's like shit hasn't changed.
Back the way you came.
So I saw this and I was like, I was like, you know, a part of me at first did think, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But then there was that, you got to like let that other part of you say, well, hold on now. Don't rush to anything. Don't condemn.
Spin, hold on a second.
So then, you know, with a little bit of, it took very little research, very little legwork. You could literally go out there and find multiple videos of the incident, right? Yeah. So that, which then leads you to find that half of the shit they were saying wasn't even true. The whole build the wall thing wasn't true. And then you find out that fucking, like, these kids were, like, they go there every year, and they were at the March for Life rally, and they were on the steps singing their school songs or whatever, and then this dude just, like, rolled up on them, beating his drum,
yeah,
like, singing to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and if you watch the whole video, that's exactly what happens. Well, they did get into a argument with a group of black Israelites.
Are those the ones that shout down white women and talk about how they're going to get raped in the streets?
Also the ones who are extremely homophobic.
Ah.
And that's what caused the kerfuffle between those two groups was because they were shouting homophobic slurs at the high school students.
That's the place to do it.
Yeah. And they shouted back, which, I mean, if someone's going to shout slurs at me, I'm not just going to take it.
Go over there and suck their dick.
I'm sorry, I'm a grown man and I'm not going to take it.
Right.
Like, but the amount of, like, grossness that went on with this, like, to find out, like, none of it was true. Like, they obviously saw, I don't even think they saw a goddamn video because they jumped to conclusions real fucking quick.
Yeah. I wonder, though, this is another good time, I think, to bring everybody back. Let's wrap this up, and if you like the wrapping paper, keep it on there. If you don't, you can tear it off. Put your own wrapping paper on there, Mr. Tubbs, you know?
Yeah.
But here we are, Gillette.
Yeah.
We got angry Catholic Caucasian.
Yeah.
Two separate incidents, however, made to fucking polarize and separate people, right? Why don't we just quit paying attention to this shit? They're doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
They want us to be at each other's throats.
Well, also, let's add in there that Native American fellow is also an actor.
Yeah. And besides, like...
And that meme you posted was hot, by the way. It was a hot take.
Which one was that?
The one where you're like, you only care about this Indian now, but like when the police were fucking blasting him with fucking jets of water and shit at fucking Standing Rock.
Yeah.
You didn't give a fuck about
it. No, nobody gave a fuck. It's fine. I just urge everyone, and I'm sure everyone out there listening to Bones and Tubbs podcast is probably only in it for the laws anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like we are, you know, or we try to be. Sometimes they rope me in, but most of the time I just can't give them the energy that they need.
You got to get up pretty early.
Yeah.
To shake this fucking apple tree.
Got to wake up pretty early to shake this baby.
You can't get outrage from a rock.
Yeah.
And that's my nickname. I don't know if you knew that. It's The Rock.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
He stole it from me. I've been The Rock longer than he has. But nah, I mean, like, It takes a lot for me to get out. I mean, there's things to get outraged about. There are things to get outraged about and get mad about.
Wish we could take all the fluoride out of everything and see how mad you were then. You think that would have changed?
I'm already an angry individual. I don't. What it's do you almost think it would like do? I almost dosed myself to prevent rage by drinking fluoride.
Would it give you like a berserker? You think you just go into a blood rage?
Yeah,
the blood fever.
And I bet you I'm not the only one.
No, I think there might be two people in this room that might.
Yeah. And there's only two people in this room, so...
Unless there's somebody hiding in over there. We got the casting couch. There might be somebody hiding in there.
Yeah.
Hiding behind it.
You never know. But yeah, I mean...
Speed my balls off, by the way. If you couldn't tell.
Oh, that's good.
This thing's got me going.
But nah, it just all... It's so gross. It's also gross to elicit all this emotion. Like, I feel like they're using some sort of spell, because this raw emotion they keep getting is like fueling them and feeding them. You know what I mean?
Right. Stop feeding the monster. Let him starve.
Yeah.
I wonder, you know, speaking of outrage and all that and removing fluoride, you think if the French protests keep going, like how long does that have to go? And if they take all the money out of the banks, forcing a bank run, is that going to affect our banking system? Everything's globalized.
I mean,
globalized.
In theory, I mean... yeah, it would.
Ours is shaky as fuck anyway.
It would affect our system. And as crazy as this yellow vest shit's been going on for like fucking 4 months now.
Yeah.
Every weekend. They're fucking shit up. Apparently, like some crazy like 80% of the street cameras in Paris are fucking destroyed.
That's fantastic.
Like all the ones that catch people running red lights or speeding and shit like that, they fucking destroyed them all.
I saw some ex minister for health or minister for education over there said they should start using live ammunition on the protesters.
Oh, yeah, because that's a good idea.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, go ahead and shoot innocent civilians.
Go ahead and shoot people that aren't armed.
Yeah.
That are just trying to take their country back.
In the grand scheme of things, that's kind of what governments do. You know, I think
democide.
I think we talked about it. Back, call back to like an early episode. What was it? God, what was that episode even about?
I don't know.
Villains?
Greatest villains.
Greatest villains, and I think democide was number one.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, they have killed the most people.
Yeah.
They've killed more people than...
Government being it, and through the act of democide. Yeah. I mean, we covered that a long time ago. That's a callback for any new listeners.
We haven't changed our roots. We still hate the government.
Yeah, wow. That's good. That's a good thing. You know, something that didn't change. I'm sure we've changed a little bit over time.
I definitely have.
Yeah. You know, opinions change, thoughts change. Not to get into a conversation on the show, but I feel like it's before we get started on Admiral Byrd, I would like to discuss it. We talked about the other day. Have you gotten in touch with Passio yet?
No. His shows, I believe, are on the weekend.
Oh, copy.
I'm not sure if they're scheduled exactly the same day of the week, but the last time he had one was the 20th, Sunday, 1/20/19.
Yeah. Just to give you guys a heads up, Bones is trying to get a hold of Mark Passio. Because we both have a pressing issue that we need to discuss with him. Because we've both been avid absorbers of the information that he puts out into the world.
He does do a good job.
Yeah, but there's just one thing he's never covered. And I believe it's because he's afraid of it. But it might just be because he just has never covered it. But it has to do with the notion of trying to be an anarchist and a parent at the same time.
Yeah.
And the duality of it all.
Yeah, I just don't think that you can, properly rear children if they don't see you as an authority.
And at the same time, trying to explain to them that authority is an illusion.
Right. Well, I mean, I get it. I get the problem with explaining that, but at the same time...
But this goes back to my notion that the only... And this is like... This goes back to my Once in Future King thing with geese.
Yeah.
Right? The only... The highest... quote-unquote authority that's effective and reasonable...
In nature
is like a head of the family unit, geese, right?
Right.
Like the head goose, the navigator,
yeah,
right? And the same thing could be said for the rest of society. It's the only reasonable, economically viable, best option is like authority begins and ends at the family, and beyond that, it really doesn't, like, it's just an illusion.
Right.
So there is power in family.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I don't think the right answer is authoritarianism, but I also don't believe that you should be like your kid's friend. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to kind of, what was it we talked about before? You're like a god, a demigod, a ruler.
And then like a mentor.
Mentor, yeah. Those are the progression as the age gets on. But you have to, in my mind, you know, if there's anybody out there that knows better than me, feel free to hit us up in the inbox.
It's amazing how quickly they go through those phases, too, because I'm pretty sure, I don't even know if Jim considers me a demigod anymore.
Mm.
I think I'm more just a hero.
Yeah.
Which I'm okay with. I'm cool with that.
That's fine.
Because, like, I mean, he's seen that I can be infallible. I mean, he's seen me sick a few times.
Right.
And grumpy. So.
I'm still obviously I'm at the age where I wake up and put the mouth guard in.
Yeah.
It's time to go put some work in on this boy.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, he hasn't made you bleed yet.
He has done a lot of things.
But that's the thing. It's like, you got to think of it like Leonidas and Xerxes.
Yeah.
He just wants you to bleed. He wants to draw blood from you to prove that you're mortal.
Well, good luck.
But I say we go on and get into the topic.
Admiral Byrd.
Admiral Richard Byrd.
I'm going to try to do this entire thing without saying General Admiral Byrd one time because I keep saying it.
Well, you just said it.
I know, but I'm explaining it. It's kind of different.
He was an explorer, a philanthropist, an all-around awesome guy.
Yeah.
Savage. I don't know what to say about him in the grand sense, but he was the first person to navigate the North Pole via plane and via at all. Like, nobody had reached the North Pole yet as of that point in the 1920s.
Yeah.
He did it in a 15-hour trip in a plane with another passenger.
Boss.
He also explored the South Pole. And this is, mind you, this is the above-the-board shit.
Right, before he started getting into high jump and all that.
Yeah. So, you know, and he spent a, like, he's like, I feel like, if anybody's ever seen the movie, Pixar movie Up, like, I don't know if you've ever seen it before.
No.
But the main character, he had a hero growing up. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember that dude's name. But this is kind of like Admiral Byrd. Like, dude was just a fucking boss. Like, people weren't doing the things he was doing. I mean, nobody was fucking going to the North Pole in a goddamn single-engine fucking plane.
Yeah.
In the 1920s. You got to imagine that thing was fucking made of, like, fucking fabric and fucking wire.
Yeah. They were wearing, like, tight goggles to keep a seal on their eyeballs so they didn't freeze, you know?
Because it was, like, you know.
Cold as shit.
Cold. But, yeah.
I'm going to start on the basic history from my deep research, Britannica, you know? Layers deeper than Wikipedia, as it were. Born October 25th, 1888 in Winchester, Virginia. Died March 11, 1957, age 68, Boston, Massachusetts. Received the Medal of Honor in his life. Was a U.S. Naval officer, pioneer aviator, polar explorer, best known for his explorations of Antarctica using airplanes and other modern technical resources. After graduating the U.S. Naval Academy in 1912, Byrd was commissioned to ensign in the U.S. Navy. He learned flying at the U.S. Naval Air Station in Pensacola, Florida. Served with the Navy with distinction until the end of World War I. After the war, he developed navigational methods and equipment for in-sea flying boats. What that means?
It's like those. I'm probably grossly wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's like those flying boats. Maybe it's one of those fucking planes that could land on water.
Makes sense.
I mean, it's theoretically it's a boat, sort of.
Transatlantic plane flight in 1919. He also assisted with the dirigibles.
Dirigibles are.
Said that right?
Yeah, you did say it right. It's dirigibles.
Nice.
Those are the fucking the airships.
Okay.
The big helium airships like the Hindenburg.
Ooh wee, yeah.
Yeah.
That was never...
That was kind of the one that ended dirigible travel because...
This is a terrible idea.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. I mean, there was a time when that was going to be considered the way to travel of the future.
Yeah.
Because you just hop in the cocksucker and it fucking gets up in the air, takes you to your destination at a decent speed.
Turn on the ceiling fan and we'll float.
It's a nice smooth ride versus a plane. I don't know how many of our listeners have ever been on a plane before. I have limited experience in a plane, but let me tell you something. I mean, it's mostly smooth, but if you're sitting right on the fucking wing, there's a little bit of a
little shakiness.
Little bumpy every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, versus a dirigible, which would have been a fucking smooth ride.
Until somebody lit up a cigar. And it's over with.
Kaboom. Oh, the humanity.
Yeah. His polar career began in 1924 when he had command of a small naval aviation detachment with Commander D.B. McMillan, Arctic expedition to western Greenland based in Ita. The experience of flying over sea ice and glaciers in western Greenland had fired Byrd with the ambition to fly over the North Pole. On May 9th, 1926, Byrd, acting as navigator, and Floyd Bennett as pilot, made what they claimed to be the first airplane journey over the North Pole, flying Kings Bay, Spitsbergen, Norway, to the pole and back. The flight lasted 15 and a half hours with no mishaps beyond an oil leak from the starboard engine of the Fokker tri-motor airplane. Fuck, man.
You know, like, you gotta put yourself in their shoes. Like, I would fucking shit my pants if I'm in a plane.
Goddamn engine's leaking!
And you're like, I mean, you're like there. You're at the North Pole. You're where nobody's been before.
Yeah, you're fucked if anything goes wrong.
And you see that the fucking starboard engine's leaking oil. Mm-hmm. I would be, listen, it, just like there's no atheists in foxholes, there's no atheists in fucking old school 1920s planes flying over the fucking North Pole.
True story. Here we go on to talk about some fake news that Britannica might be involved in. One of Byrd's earlier associates, Bernd Balken, even claimed after Byrd's death that the flight to the North Pole had been a hoax. The discovery in 1996 of the diary that Byrd had kept on his famous flight shed new light on this question. Byrd's diary entry suggests that the airplane was still about 150 miles short of the North Pole when Byrd decided to turn back because of the concern over the oil leak. If this is true, then credit for the first flight over the North Pole actually belongs to that I can't pronounce. I wonder if that's, I don't know, man. That, you know, harken back to that episode we did on the Hollow Earth about that journal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That might be the insert there, the fake news. I'm going to go ahead and credit Admiral Byrd with the first flight to the North Pole.
He's credited with it.
And I'm going to turn off Britannica.
Yeah.
Because I'm triggered now.
Now, after his first flight over the North Pole, he began to gain serious notoriety. Because, I mean, you got to think of it like this. Like, as far as anybody was concerned at the time, the North Pole and the South Pole were virtually the last frontiers.
Yeah.
We didn't know shit about them. Like, cause nobody could go there because it's too goddamn cold to go on foot. You'd fucking die.
What was the show we watched the other day? The Chronoscope?
Yeah.
The weekly Chronoscope?
Yeah, that was a good show.
Where he was being interviewed by newsmen. You know? Everybody should check that out. I'll post it on the Facebook page. But it was good.
Yeah, it was a good episode.
I feel like they were all smoking cigarettes in my memory. At least one of them had a whiskey drink.
Yeah.
They had to get one good jab in against women.
Whammon.
Whammon. They didn't respect whammon.
I mean,
not back then.
Not in the way you're supposed to respect whammon.
I feel like they were all the actual Ron Burgundies.
It wasn't even that bad of a jab in even modern terms as far as I'm concerned. Like, I think even most women would laugh at the joke.
Shit, man.
I mean, it was pretty simple. Like,
just imagine if the mainstream media got a hold of, like, if we were on a modern-day Chronoscope talking about our flight to the fucking North Pole of Mercury or wherever, and we're like, yeah, ain't no women been up there. And somebody's like, must be the most peaceful place. I could hear it now.
It's a joke, you know.
Oh, I get it. We're going to be the champions of comedy. We can't allow comedy to die.
Well, I mean, like, I mean, in the same vein, you could fucking make, I mean, women make jokes about dick measuring contests when it comes to shit like that. Mm-hmm. Apparently, being adventurous is fucking toxic masculinity. So, I mean, fuck.
Man, I'd like to perform a shout out real quick, if I may.
Yeah.
I believe I showed you this person. Shout out to Elizabeth Duffy. Did I tell you about her?
Yeah, you did.
Found her when I was floating through the TikTok.
Nice.
She does lots of funny stuff. She did a video I believe we shared on the Facebook page about liberal logic on toxic masculinity. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Pretty, check her out.
Yeah, go check it out.
Leave her some comments. Say the Bones and Tub Show sent you.
But, so that's kind of like the normal bare bones Admiral Byrd stuff.
Yeah.
Let's get into what we talked about on two episodes ago.
Ooh, tell me more.
Okay. So we talked about two episodes ago how, on our Hollow Earth episode, about how on his, I believe it was Operation High Jump.
Yes.
Yes. Operation High Jump, 1947. It was in Antarctica. he is flying over the continent, which is supposedly made of ice.
Yeah.
And he begins experiencing lush fields of brown grass and hues of purple.
Yeah. This is the mistake I made. We just made it again.
What's that?
I thought it was Antarctica for high jump, but it was actually North Pole.
Was it? I thought it was Antarctica. Okay. So, you know, he's flying over it, and he sees all these things, and then he sees creatures and animals down below.
The fuck? Is that a mammoth?
Yeah.
You know?
He is then intercepted by two flying saucers and is basically put into a tractor beam and led down to the fucking surface.
They flew his plane for him for 7 minutes, made him land. You know,
where he meets the quote-unquote master,
Arian,
who more or less tells him, "Don't come back," and to also warn him that, hey, you know, we've kind of stayed out of mankind's affairs for a long time, but you're meddling with things that should not be meddled with, and in reference to atomic energy,
right?
And he said that, we will take things into our own hands if you continue down this path.
Most def.
And also, fuck off. Never come back.
By the way.
Yeah. We tried to warn your leaders, but they didn't listen to us. So we're telling you to tell them to knock it off.
We will come up there and tax that ass.
We will spank that listen, ass.
I'm going to spank it.
Listen.
We're like the IRS. We will tax the shit out of that ass.
So... And mind you, this is all below the board because this is from his secret journals that weren't published till after he died.
Right.
in the beginning of the journals, he explicitly explains that, you know, anybody who reads these must understand that in my life I could not release these.
Yeah.
But he hopes that they see the light of day one day.
Right.
And that's why we're helping do that today.
Doing the good work.
So.
I tied it into the conversation we had the other day, the Factory of Sadness, where... it was that encounter that happened during the Cold War where we have Russian nuclear scientist watching the radar, you know?
Yeah.
With his hand on the button. United States, same thing, counterpart, hand on the button, looking at the radar.
Yeah.
Simultaneously, they both see nukes launched from the other one.
Yeah.
So they're like...
Time to go.
Yeah, what do we do? Before a decision is made, two saucers fly above either base... And hover there. They can't be made contact with. The missiles activate, start heating up or whatever it is they do. Everything goes green, like they're going to explode in the silo, and then everything turns off. And then the saucers disappear. So they're automatically on the phone calling each other like, what the fuck did you just do to us?
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, no. What did you do to us? Back and forth. Whatever had happened, those craft had disabled some piece that took, I think it was like 2 weeks. To fix.
Now...
So at some point during the Cold War, both sides were without working nuclear weapons.
Supposedly, after his return from this expedition, he went to and talked to the president and explained what basically the message he had been given.
Yeah.
And he was told never to speak of it again. Now, here's where you ask yourself, like, what if someone fabricated these journals? Now, that's a possibility.
True.
But this is what I am going to say. Upon his return from Operation High Jump, he was on board a U.S. Navy carrier, and there was reporters on board. And when they asked for statements from him about his expedition, now, mind you, High Jump ended 6 months early.
Mm, yeah. Nothing more to see here.
Yeah. It ended 6 months early. And normally, expeditions don't end so abruptly. Without a valid reason. When he got on board this aircraft carrier and the journalists were asking him about the journey, he wouldn't explicitly say what had happened, but he was adamantly clear that we needed to definitively have a military presence in Antarctica, in the North Pole, and made an expression about how there could possibly be ships that could go from either pole to pole nearly instantaneously eventually.
Yeah.
Or that there already were. He said this to journalists. These are documented things that he said. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, it's not all the things we just told you, but this is what you got to keep in mind. Like, of course, he's not going to just like spill the beans
Yeah.
On all this shit, the first chance he gets. You know what I mean?
He's trying to drum up public support while he goes and delivers the message to his boss.
Let that be said that after high jump, he only went out of the country one more time.
I'm fucking done with this shit. I'm done with it.
Those are the things I look at.
Yeah, those are definite indicators, I think.
Okay. Now,
given validity.
You look at the things, other things that were going on. We know that the Nazis were operating out of Antarctica in the 1930s, and they were talking about how there needed to be a strong military presence. And it's the thing that always boggled me, whether it was Byrd or the Nazis or anybody. Anybody that's ever said it, and there's been a lot of people that have said it. Why does there need to be a military presence in Antarctica? It's a barren wasteland.
Is it?
Question. I mean, that's what we've been told.
Right.
Looks like supposedly, right, according to Admiral Byrd, the only inhabitants are emperor penguins.
It's like right now when you look on the internet for jobs in Antarctica. I'll just use the South Pole as an example. But you've got, we've talked about it before, I think it's like a rolling population. The highest it gets is somewhere allegedly around 1,400 people. Mostly scientists down there sciencing, doing science.
Yeah.
But you can also find jobs, I believe it's on Aegis, or Aegis Security Contractor.
Mm-hmm.
They have private security down there. And those are the guys, like, all former military, special ops types.
Yeah.
That's like some Blackwater shit.
Yeah. What the fuck is going on down there?
Ice giants. I mean,
I don't listen, man, I don't fucking know. I want to know, I don't know.
I wish they'd come and float over my car as I was on my way home and tell me, like, look, shut the fuck up. Here's like $1 million ice dollars. Go spend that shit.
I mean, according to him, this group of people have been around a lot longer than any of us, which leads to the question, like, if there's Nazi ties to them, how does that even make any sense?
Well, I mean, take it back to a new episode of Sage Wonder on his YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Did you watch that?
No, I didn't watch that.
We talk about where royalty came from.
What did he say about royalty?
Royalty, if you look at the creation story, either the Bible or any of the Abrahamic religions, they all talk about the fallen angels, right? Yeah. The Book of Enoch talks about the angels mating, coming down and mating with humans, creating
heroes,
men of renown, mm-hmm. demigods. The Anunnaki, similar story, where they came down and they fucked the flesh puppets that they made.
Yeah.
Created the same thing, heroes, giants, and all that. So when they left, the demigods or whatever, they couldn't leave. They were mixed genetics. They weren't allowed to go back.
So they were in more dire straits than we were, because they were definitively more powerful than us, but they couldn't do anything about it to leave either.
Right. So they were left. They originally had made them for the purpose of controlling areas like kingdoms.
Yeah.
And then that's why kingship or queenship is passed down through bloodline, because they still originate from the same bloodline.
Yeah.
So take all that into account. You know, we've talked about the firmament before. Maybe if it's Anunnaki or if it's alien or whatever it might be, and there's not like an outer space scenario, we're stuck here with the firmament. Maybe they're from the inner Earth. You know?
Could be.
That's why they give a shit about nukes. They're like, listen, we don't give a fuck what you guys do to each other. You're not fucking this up for us. We have to live here too, cockbags.
It kind of makes you wonder, like, because you know, like, North Korea was experimenting, like, they were detonating nukes underground.
Mm-hmm. And then that thing collapsed.
Yeah, and it kind of makes you wonder, like, and then they just stopped abruptly.
Yeah.
And they claim it's for peace.
Right. Oh, of course.
But, because, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, other than North Korea, nobody, like, before, like, the last time, I believe, I might be wrong, the last time before North Korea, a nuclear bomb was detonated, like, anywhere on Earth.
Yeah.
Was in I want to say in the 1960s early. Mm-hmm. Bikini Atoll was the last big one.
Was it a ground or the air?
It was at Bikini Atoll, which is a string of islands in the South Pacific.
I got you.
I
was trying to think of the ones that happened where they supposedly shot the firmament. When was that?
I don't know about that one.
We talked about it before. Yeah, they shot like 5 or 10 things at the same time, the same area, and they all detonated in the sky.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I think in the entirety of the human civilization, as far as we know, only about probably 24 nuclear bombs have ever been detonated.
Yeah.
As far as I know. That's as far as I know, and I'm probably wrong. Wrong a lot.
Did you ever watch the video where the government had those? It was like, it's the one that kind of raised a lot of questions for me about nukes, because they had a camera, and they had the troops. Like, yeah. I guess they were army, maybe. They run out into the desert, They dig their own little foxholes, their little trenches. Then they're out there playing cards. And then there's the fucking bomb. Boom. Goes off. You know, maybe a quarter mile, half a mile away.
Yeah.
And you see the mushroom cloud. And they get down into the foxholes. And they get up and run towards the, just the plume.
That's a bad idea.
Yeah, they were forced. They didn't know, allegedly. But you know what's funny? It's a nuclear bomb, and it didn't disrupt the camera.
Well, see that, and it's like 12,000. The inside of that fucking mushroom cloud's like 12,000 degrees.
It's no problem.
Something crazy like that.
They were probably given a vaccine. They were fine.
Oh, okay.
You're safe. Released from liability.
I know they were blowing shit up in Nevada for a while.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's even footage, just random footage that they didn't even intend to capture. Somebody was in Las Vegas. Oh. Like, and they were just videotaping the night sky across the strip. And then all of a sudden, you just see this fucking, over the mountain range, you just see this fucking flash, boom, yeah. Like that, crack off.
Fuck off.
Yeah, and then, like I said, there hasn't, in the grand scheme of things, been that many nuclear detonations because, I mean, you can only do so many before you start doing some permanent damage.
I'm sure they've done a lot more than we know about.
Yeah, that's true.
They use our tax money that we have to give them to do secret black budget operations.
Yeah.
You know? It's none of our fucking business what you use your money for.
Yeah. Fuck you. Give me money.
Give me your money, and I'm not going to tell you what we're using it on.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
It's that time of year anyways. You know, it's that time of year where some of us start getting real fucking salty about the money we're not getting.
I wonder how many people, and of course I would never urge anyone to do this, because that would be a crime.
Yeah.
But how many people would we have to get, hypothetically, to stop paying their federal taxes before everything came to a fucking crashing halt?
Well, I'm going to say this, and to start a revolution in a country, you only need roughly about 3.5% of the population. So,
could you imagine if everybody in that percentage just woke up and filed 12?
To put that in perspective, how many people is required? Roughly less than 5%, somewhere around 4% of the population identifies as LGBTQ+. Mm-hmm. So, humor me.
Yeah.
If the entire LGBT community rose up at once,
yeah,
they could theoretically instill a totalitarian dictatorship, mm-hmm, but then inevitably possibly get overthrown by another 3.5%. That's why a lot of countries, there's just a lot of rough housing, you know? Because, yeah, like, it doesn't really take much to get a kerfuffle going, you know?
That's why we got to keep everybody divided, you know? I say we as the Bones and Tubs Nation continue to grow. We make friends with everyone, and then we all hypothetically start filing 12.
Unlike the weird subterranean creatures that live in the North and South Poles, we really do come in peace.
Yeah, we're not here to tell you how to live your life. We're not going to probe you or anything, unless you want us to. You know? Consent's very important.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very important. But I think that about wraps it up for the show.
Yeah, that was a nice little fucking ramble job.
Yeah, I like that, though. I
haven't had a good rambling job
in a while. I'm sure somebody's going to enjoy it. Somebody's got to enjoy it.
I did.
Oh, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Listen, if there's anything anybody could get out of the 100-some-odd episodes that we've done, I would say easily 98% of them I enjoyed. There's only been a couple where I've been like, I wasn't feeling it that day or something.
Yeah, there's some heavy shit.
Well, yeah, there's been some ones that just left me frustrated before I was done. So
I don't know what the podcast download stats are, but the YouTube channel, one of my favorite hard-hitting episodes that hurt me the most was the one where we read from Behold a Pale Horse, tribute to William Cooper.
Yeah.
Hardly anybody's watched that video.
Hmm.
Like 25 views.
That sucks.
But like you go to some other silly shit and it's like, you know.
Well, I honestly, I started thinking about putting fucking videos of me playing Fallout on there just for shits and giggles.
You should. What's funny is like when you see, again, I'm going to use TikTok. I know you hate it.
Yeah.
But they'll have like screen recordings from some first-person shooter.
Yeah.
The guy's gameplay, but he's, like, delivering you a message, like, in 1913, the Federal Reserve.
Well, you know, I just, TikTok, I have to say this, I'm going to keep saying it on the show. It's going to be, for me, every time I say the word TikTok, it's going to be TikTok-the Herald of Doom.
Yeah.
So every time I say TikTok-the Herald of Doom, I'm talking about the app TikTok, but I'm really saying TikTok, the Herald of Doom.
I fucking love it. It's my milk.
It's destruction.
You know what it is, though, too? It's also chest destruction because it gave us that workout for Thursday.
I know. I'll give it that. It did give us that chest workout.
That little roided up Asian boy knows what he's doing.
Listen, he could kick both of our asses at the same time.
With or without martial arts.
Yeah. Probably just with his fucking pectoral muscles, he could fucking
that shit
beat our heads.
You can't stab or shoot that.
Yeah.
That's thick.
Yeah. But I think that about wraps it up for the show.
Yeah.
We'd like to thank y'all for listening. If you're feeling froggy, go on down to our Patreon. Contribute a dollar. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Join the nation.
If you want to send a giant fuck you to the mainstream media, give us a dollar a month on Patreon.
Yeah.
We'll shout your names out. We'll give you the tastiest of shout outs. We'll place you upon high, the high shelf.
So you come on down, you know, start out $1 a month. That's all you got to do.
Join the nation.
Join the nation. Check us out on Instagram. You want some merchandise?
Go to the link.
There's a link on our fucking Instagram for that.
Yeah. Instagram.com/boomdubs.
We'd like to thank y'all for listening. We hope you have a good week. We'd like to thank Ryan Simpson for letting us use his music on the show.
Thank you.
And we hope to see you next time.
We fucking love you.
We really fucking do.
It's a complete reversal. It's the last rehearsal. Call it the final revision. But don't call it religion. The truth.